The following is a teaching by Ivan Abena, founder and senior elder of Gate Ministries Durban South.
Let's go to our script again and just go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and quickly read. Moreover, brethren, from verse 1, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So Christ was present in the book of Exodus, and Eric read the passage of scripture, and they move. They went to from station 1, which is Egypt, right up to station number 42, which was Canaan. So along those 42 stations, you must understand the rock was with them. The rock was Christ, and Paul is saying the Christ was the rock that produced, gave them water in the wilderness. Are you with me? So Christ was with them, the cloud was with them, the presence of God was with them, the voice of God was with them. And if that is an example for us today, we must understand the rock is with us, the voice of God is with us, the cloud is with us, which is the anointing. And we know today the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit, Holy Spirit, is here with us today, likewise with them. And Paul goes on to say, but with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now, if you'd understand, Paul brings this passage of scripture. He's borrowing it from the book of Exodus, and he's bringing it up. He's making reference to this, and it is so evident in the New Testament. So in the New Covenant, he's going to the Old Testament, and he's bringing a passage of scripture for our edification and for teaching us certain principles that will transform us, that will cause us to become better human beings. Okay? So everything as an example becomes a lesson for us, a school lesson. So this is what he's saying. These things became our examples, verse 6, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Now, lusting is not only for someone else, someone else's wife, or someone else's friend or whatever. It's not one human lusting for another human. According to this passage of scripture, you can lust for things. The things that you place before God and higher than God, you have lusted. I want to tell you something. There is a difference between polytheism. Monotheism is one God. Polytheism is having more than one God in your life placed side by side each other. But idolatry is totally different. Idolatry is placing your thing above God. So monotheism is we believe in one God. And I believe right here we believe in one God. Polytheism means believing in more than one gods. Okay? And idolatry has to do with you placing a thing above God. Okay, so anything that you place above God becomes an idol. Okay, an idol is a substitutionary thing. You substitute the reality for something that is counterfeit. So you take the counterfeit and you give it the same significance and credence like the real thing. Okay, so this is an example of that Paul draws from the Old Testament. And now he's teaching his audience, the Corinthians, a lesson on how to place God as a preeminent one in your life. God has no one that's equal to him, and God has nothing that can come close to him. He's omnipresent, he's omnipotent, and he's omniscient. What do I mean by that? He's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, and he's everywhere. His presence is ubiquitous. In other words, he's everywhere. He can be everywhere in the same time. He can sit and talk to Val while he's talking to me. Right now, he's leading me to speak while he's giving you the same spirit to receive. Okay? That is if you are connected to the same frequency or wavelength. So we're praying today, as we sit here, let us be good recipients. Now, don't sit casually in the house of God. Start to be draw like you're drawing. Okay? Have this attitude of drawing. Come on now, I want every one of you, your physical stature, I want you to be in a posture of drawing, waiting at the well to draw, waiting to receive. Okay? Waiting to receive. You're all standing outside checkers. The door's not open yet. You want that one loaf of hot bread. You're all standing there waiting. Okay, can you see? Waiting for the doors to open. You're impatient. I want you to receive the word with that spirit of expectancy. Lord, open your doors. Lord, I'm here to receive. Your word is more important than my attitude. Come on. And I want Lord to believe right now that you can bring me through. You're the only one. In the name of the Lord. So Paul goes on and he takes this extract from the book of Exodus 32. Do not become idolaters as were some of them. So he's talking to not an audience that is outside the faith. He's talking in the church. He's talking to the Corinthians in the church. And all his letters, whether it's to Corinthians or to Thessalonians or to anyone, is the Christians. He's asking the Christians and his audience, do not be idolaters. Now, we can't say that everyone there had some form of physical idol in their homes. No. But they may have had something that they put before God. And because of that, Paul is moved by the Holy Spirit to address these inaccuracies in the house. Amen. Amen. So, anything you place before God becomes an idol. And you know, the first command is that you shall have no other gods besides me. Amen? There's no such thing as polytheism. There's no such thing as idolatry with God. God said he's a jealous God and he wants all his children that he gave his life for to be his possession. Okay? So it's important. So let's go on. Now these things became our examples. Do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat, drank, rose up to play. Now let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted Christ and were destroyed by serpents. No complain, as some of them complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Here we find that there's idolatry mentioned, sexual immorality mentioned, tempting Christ mentioned, complaining mentioned. All of these things brought destruction on human life. Right? And Paul is drawing this because to him, this is an important lesson for the New Testament church. Okay, so he's drawing this to say how people change their attitude to an almighty God through the spirit of apostasy that comes over a group of people. One day they're excited, the next day they are lost their bearings. One day they celebrate God, the next day because of offenses and because of an internal lock inside of them, they change their attitude towards God. And in so doing, they show God a point. Now, you can't do that. You can't deal with a holy God in that manner. You can't. Illegal. Cannot do that. So, being a son of God, we have certain priorities and certain criteria that we have to take care of, so that we are on the same side as God. Beloved, these are the last days. And these last days demand that we live. I was talking to a pastor yesterday who was disillusioned. And I met him at one of the funerals. And I sat to him. He said, I need prayer. I need counseling. I lost my touch with God. And I said, please, you know, you are serving God. You are a pastor for so long. And if you are feeling this way, I will do whatever it takes, but I want you to finish strong. The last part of your journey is so important right now. last part of your journey is so important. We just have to go to these lives, 430 odd or 40 lives that were lost to the floods. A day before that, or even in that morning, they never knew they were going to lose their lives. They never knew that their lives were going to go. They woke up the morning, they may have kissed their parents, kissed their children, jumped into the car and never came back and saw their loved ones again. What makes you and I think that we are absolved from these types of things happening to us? The only assurance we have today, beloved, that if we remain in Christ and are proponents of righteousness, we are going to make it to this place that God has prepared for us. For hell is a place that we must avoid. It has been constructed for the devil and his angels. But if everyone, ones that are saying, no, we will rather follow the bad ways of the devil and what he says, you're going to go there on your own. And don't blame God for taking you there. You have a choice and I have a choice. Let me use the word we so that I don't talk about you only, I talk about myself. We all have a choice. And we have to influence the next generation with the right choices. If we're getting offended all the time and we're speaking about our offense in front of our children, you are crafting them to have the similar way. You may have the mechanism to cope with these things, but they do not have the mechanism. And sometimes we are so verbose, we pollute our environments with what we want, and we are so free to express our anger and what we want that we spoil the environment for those that look forward to a good day. And sometimes the problems are not in the others, it's inside of us. But we so quickly want to blame everyone around us, but we fail as human beings to look inside of us. Where am I wrong? What am I doing to contribute to the downfall of something? And I pray today, as a practical point from this story, that we will navigate our own lives first. We will look into ourselves intently to see where have we gone wrong. I walked up into this podium today, my heart being heavy that lots of our people are not running into the house of God readily and willingly. We don't look forward to this family meeting. Some may be here just because you have to be here, because your spouses or your children or your husband said, we must go. There has to be an internal passion, willingness to gather. This is not a man's forum. This is the Holy Spirit's forum. This is where He wants to move upon your heart and my heart. He wants to remove stuff. He wants to install new stuff. He wants to make you brand new. He wants to stimulate your faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Don't you this morning are convicted on how important the word of God is? That it is the word of God that will bring you your breakthroughs. It is the word of God that will reveal the heart of the Father to you. It is the word of God that will bring success and prosperity in your life. That's why Joshua 1:8 is so wonderful and so beautiful, where he tells us, you must meditate on the word of God day and night. Make it your priority. Let me use a practical example for some of us. You could go home today, and you could walk up and down your home. You could just walk outside, walk and wait for the evening to come and still be empty on the inside. person B can go home, have their lunch, kiss their family, go to their study and say, Lord, I just want to learn a principle from your word. Opens that word, reads the word, studies the word, applies the word, prays that word, and feels fulfilled. I guarantee you, Monday morning, the person that was empty is going to wake up crabby, going to wake up irritable, going to wake up in a place where he's going to make others feel bad. But the guy who goes to see, the last thing in your mind must always impact the first moment of the new day. And if it's not happening, you're going to be depleted of your joy. Slowly but surely, the levels of your joy will go down. And I'm praying today as you listen, we go back to our case study, that you will find something that will lift you up. You all in this house are good people, exceptionally good people. But we don't want to, as a servant of God, don't want to see you plateau at a place of not enough. We want you to excel and come to a place of more than enough. More than enough. I was talking to the students on Tuesday. The children of Israel, while they were in Egypt under slavery, they had not enough. They were scrounging and living off what the Israelites, what the Egyptians were giving them. And that went on for 490 years. And God saves them, brings them into the wilderness. It was an 11-day journey, but it took 40 years because they were stubborn to learn the lessons that God wanted to teach them. So a short journey of 11 days took 40 years. And all of them that left Egypt that night died, except for two, Caleb and Joshua. Why did they die? And we read that. They were complaining. They were tempting Christ. They were involved in all types of idolatry. And with the worship of Baal comes all types of sexual sins. It works together. Okay? And so, you understand these things. So they had just enough for the day. God will rain down chicken, rain down bread, and feed them for 40 years. They didn't have to buy a new shirt. Their shoes grew as their feet grew. One pair of shoes for 40 years. So they had all of these just enough. But God was not satisfied to keep them at that point indefinitely. I want you to take an example. The word example is used, which means that for your life and my life, we have a lesson. So God didn't want, in all his mercy, provision, and love for his children, he didn't want them to just have just enough. He wanted them to take them to the land of milk and honey, where they would have more than enough. That's why did so many die? It's because of their attitude, because of their internal construct, was not compliant to the standard of God. And that's why, beloved, today, you got to become compliant to what God wants. Righteousness is the standard of God for my life. So when you're righteous, I'm not talking about right living. Many people, in fact, I can say thousands of people in our community are not Christians, but they right live. They live right. But righteousness is being compliant to the standard of Christ in your life and my life. And for that reason, we have to do a few things to come to that standard, to make God and believe that God is the ultimate in your life. These people died because they did not think of God as the ultimate, as the apple of our eyes, as the one we could bow down and worship. And they walked away from him. So what we need to do today quickly is to first seek the kingdom of God. To bring God back, seek his kingdom. Number two, you got to align your attitude. We see this is a problem with the children in the wilderness. I'm doing this because you go back and we do this case study. Thirdly, you got to align your relationships. Your relationships involved a few things. You align your relationship with yourself. Many people today hate themselves. They have not forgiven themselves. They have not come. And it keeps them in their own prison. And their world is a restricted world. And they believe it's the only thing. As we said, in the valley, your voice is the prominent voice. Because you're the only person there. So you have to align yourself to your relationship. You have to align yourself to your relationship with your environment. You have to align yourself in your relationship with others around you. Makes sense? And you have to align yourself in your relationship with your God. Very, very important. So you align yourself with your relationship. Next, you have to align yourself with the authority of God. And the authority, delegated authority that God has placed in your life. One of the key spirits that will be released, at least in these last days, is lawlessness. I do not want to be told by spiritual parents what to do. But God is saying, that's the system I have put in. But God, I don't want to. But God says, I put that system. My delegated authority is my authority. I will deal with the ones that I put in charge of you. But you, your job is to recognize the authority in those I place over you. Never for one minute discredit the authority of God in those that God has placed in charge of a household. You rather zip it than speak about it, because your words carry life and death. And if God is not happy with what you say, those words come back and like a serpent will tie you up. Your own words will be tying you up, suffocating you, because you are reckless in the way you treat God. So come back and align yourself to authority. Next, think about your inner world. How is your inner world? There is a very beautiful world inside of you. Create capacity within you for God. And He will stretch that capacity in a way that you will not understand. Are you making room for Him? Are you making room for Him? I'm asking you these questions before we go into this teaching. And finally, align yourself with His body. Don't see yourself as someone standing in the car park looking inside here. In your mind, don't think of yourself, no, I know when to stay away, when to be involved, when to come, when to go. I'll stand outside. I'll rather, do my own thing while people are praying for me on a Thursday. Don't look from the outside. Don't be a spectator. Align yourself to His body. Is this part of His body? Yes or no? You believe that by faith, that this is His body. Align yourself to the body. Become inclusive in your thought patterns. Become part of the house. And when you're part of the house, you take responsibility. You take responsibility. That is essential. And now that's how we must treat the Lord God in what He wants. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he can stand take heed. Watch out, pass up. You will fall. If you think that you can stand without God and you can show Him a point and you can want to not align yourself to His standard, then watch out. Bible says, lest you fall. I think there are many fallen believers today who think that they are right, but they are not right. Because they have adopted their standard for God. Now I pray today, beloved, always be vulnerable and open to what God wants to do. Lose your own agenda. Lose your own ways. Not our ways, but your ways. Go to that verse of scripture in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. Pretty quiet, but I see so many of you taking notes. So good in my heart to see you. So involved. This is what the Lord says. Is this the Lord speaking? For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Straight away, you must understand that your thoughts need to be drawn towards Him. You need to hand over. Say hand over. If your thoughts are hostile, if your thoughts are all over the show, collect them, hand them over. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. I want us to close our eyes for a moment. Think of God. Take a moment, think of God. Take a moment, just think of Him. How big He is, how powerful He is. How great He is, that you cannot match Him. So let's look at the scripture again. Know your ways, my ways, says the Lord. Let me tell you today, the Lord is saying, let me tell you how big and how far my ways are from your ways. But you know, you can adopt my standard in your life. You can adopt my ways and my thoughts. We all can stand in a line waiting for God to touch us with His ways and His thoughts. Come on. Now He's telling us how big His ways are. Come, can you measure this? For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, my thoughts than your thoughts. So will you ever come close to His? So don't think for 1 minute that you can put on display your thoughts and your ways before God, even in your worship, in your giving, in your work. Even me as a pastor, I can't go show God a point. I have to adopt His ways and His thoughts. Many of us as pastors have become miserable when we thought we could use a platform to parade what we want instead of what He wants. And in no time, we were exposed as leaders. So let us bring and submit ourselves under Him. Church, these are good thoughts I'm sharing with you today, so that you will just be the better person, that God will fill you with Himself, that you become a pliable person for Him and one who He wants to hang out with. But you may ask the question, but why God doesn't just push me and just pull me and do those things? God doesn't do that. God has given you choice. And He will not impose upon you. He will stimulate or He will prompt you, but He will not impose upon you. You must ask, you must seek, and you must knock, you must knock. Thank you, Pastor. You must knock. You must knock. You must ask. You must. If He knows everything that you need, why do you have to ask? It's because He's teaching us how to come to Him. As a good father, we teach our children also, how to knock, how to ask, how to relate and respect the one who gives them things. We don't hand things over. So let's go to the story that Paul is speaking and read that. But before we do that, let's look at this whole aspect on 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings 11 and a few verses there. I want you to keep this in your background. King Solomon loved many foreign women. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Solomon finished tragically. A tragic end. Tragic end. He was a cause of the kingdom of his father David being ripped into two. Judah on one side, Israel on the other side. There's a teaching that I want to do on the kings and the kingdom. Each king of Israel, how evil they were. example of a king is King Ahab, who was married to Jezebel. Do you understand? And so the kingdom was torn apart, and Israel was 10 of the tribes, and Judah was one tribe. Okay, on one side. For the sake of the goodness of David, Solomon was able to retrain only one tribe for his son. What was his son's name? Rehoboam. There was Rehoboam and there was Jeroboam. Jeroboam was the officer in the army of Solomon. But because he rose up against Solomon, he rebelled. Solomon wanted to kill him. He ran to Egypt for cover. When he found out that Solomon was dead, he came back. God made it so that he would rule Israel. And Rehoboam, the true son of Solomon, he took over just one. He could have been the king over all, but because of his father's sin, it fell onto his son. So be careful. Let's see what Solomon did. Wise man. We read about his proverbs. We read about all the good things about him. But let's read this account in his life. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh. Connection, okay? All his connections were evil. Women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and the Hittites. These were all bad tribes. He went and got connected to all these tribes. From the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them. God's command. Nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Be careful. Sometimes we want to enter a relationship with someone of another faith, thinking we'll win them over. But 9 out of 10 times they win you over, or they neutralize the spirit of Christ in you. Be careful. But this is what the word is saying. I'm just talking about the word. You shall not intermarry, nor they would you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after the God. Solomon clung to these gods in love. Because when he married their wives, he married their gods. Do you know that Rachel was a tragedy? The wife of Jacob? Because she stuck to her idols right till the end. That even when her father, Laban, came after her, she was so deceptive. She said, I have my monthly, I can't move. You know, she hid her idols under. He was mad because the daughter stole the idols. So when she died, while giving birth to Benoni, now called Benjamin, she died. And when she died, she was not buried at Machpelah, the place where all the patriarchs were buried. She was buried on the roadside. Because of her idolatry, she refused to change. Come on. And we all talk about Rachel, isn't it? We even preach about her. But it's a tragedy. Solomon, we read his proverbs, but he ended a tragedy. It's not how you start off. It's the last leg of your journey. How you finish off. And maybe I should finish the sermon today there. Because it's a good point to start asking yourself the pertinent questions that will either elevate you or demote you. Do you know that you are some of your... Don't blame the devil for everything. You yourself is your own enemy sometimes in some situation. Because you're so stubborn, you want to apply your own mind, your own ways, when God says, apply my ways and my thoughts. And we get into trouble, then we have to go back and scratch our head and say, I should have done it. I should have listened to pastor. I should have spoken to my pastor first. You know, so many times, church, it's no indictment to you. You plan your stuff and then come and talk. When you can first talk to your spiritual pastor before you engage something. And when I hear that you've already planned it, I say, go ahead. Bless you. Why? Because you already planned. Why am I going to stop it? You already made up your mind. This is what you're going to do. You never come for advice. You just came for endorsement. So it's important we understand these spiritual rudiments in our journey. And from the nation there, you shall not. And he had 700 wives. Some of the brothers can't handle one. 700. Brothers, how can you handle 700 wives? There's 365 days. So you see two wives every day. In order to just say hello. Can't do much more, just say hello. And 300 concubines. And look at what happened to his wives. Read there. Wives, turn away his heart. Be careful. His wives turned away his heart. I talked to the sisters in the house today. You know something? When your husbands were unsaved, you were quite in order to see them come home 5 next morning. But when they are saved and they're in church, hey, why are you going to church today? Let's sit down. Let's go for breakfast. But the wife, husband was with you whole day yesterday, whole day today. It's because when they were in the world, you adjusted and you were quite comfortable. But when they serve the Lord, you, because they're not cheeky now, not drugging, not drinking, they are so gentle. We now want to push them around. We pray that the wives will not in any way place unrealistic demands on the brother. If you look around the house, there are very few brothers in this house. Where are the men? What has happened to their hearts? They should be lining up, serving Lord. They are men supposed to be rising up early morning on Sunday morning. Eve service is at 10. They should be rising up at 7 and say for 1 hour, let me pray for my family. Let me release a blessing. We have not as yet, men, understood the principle of declaration, of proclamation, of speaking over our family, of saying things that will shift, even if our family is in the wrong station. By us speaking and declaring, God can work through your prayer. Because there's something about men. They carry a stature in the spirit. Hallelujah. They are leaders that God wants to raise for him in this end time. So I pray today that we will not allow anything to turn away our hearts from what God wants. You got a choice today. Do what you want or do what God wants. I choose today to follow God. How about you, brothers? Follow God. Follow God. Beloved, everyone in the house, follow God. Follow God. Look what happened. Sometimes your destiny can be thwarted because of influences that are not where God wants you to be. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wife turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. Isn't it a sad state of affairs when our children, because of our behavior and because of our slackness, because of what we do, we lead them astray. And they lose their heat. They lose their passion for God. I'm praying today in this house, let us be examples. First in our own homes. First to our own children. First to those that are looking up to us and drawing. Have you noticed sometimes, you think that your children are playing with a toy. And you could speak on this side. And 3 days later, your child is repeating what you spoke on this side. And you said, I thought you were busy playing. But the child registered everything that you spoke in a way that was not kind. And they registered these things. They register. Let me tell you, children follow examples in their parents. Let me tell you something. If a father says to his child, yes, 20 rand, go buy me a loose cigarette. Not many days later, the child will explore the same thing. And then we hit the children, but we told them, because to the child's mind, if my dad told me to buy this, if it's good for him, it's good for me. There must be good in it for my father to engage in it. Children are children. And then we start blaming no Sunday school. That's why my children are like this. The teachers are like this. They're not teaching my children well. And a whole lot of host of things. Yet we have a problem at home. Solomon messed up. Messed up badly. And if you go on to read later, all his children messed up. What an example. A man who wrote the book of Proverbs. A man was known as a wise man. All these women came to him because of his wisdom. They didn't want to leave him. Sheba came from Africa, from Ethiopia. Queen Sheba. She refused to leave Solomon. She said, I'll be one of your wives. When she saw his wisdom, she fainted. And thereafter, she said, she brought all the wealth, gave it to him because of his wisdom. See, sometimes God blesses us with different skills and different talents. And we said to God, some of us may have said to God, God, you give me this job, I'll serve you. I'll at least teach in children's church. Lord, heal me. Lord, give me a child. Lord, raise me up. We asked, told all these things to God. Remember, God never, he doesn't suffer like me, memory loss. He registers everything. There's a book. There's a book in heaven about us. There's a reward system in heaven. There's everything. Remember when you said that? You were dealing with the Almighty God. David never thought that his son Solomon would step out from the faith, isn't it? But look what the scripture says. And thereafter, Jeroboam comes in. And this is what Jeroboam, you can read the accounts, continue reading at home. Jeroboam comes in as a bad influence. He's now got 10 tribes and he thinks, well, I'm better than Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. He said to them, listen, I will not allow people to go to Jerusalem to worship. I will create two synagogues close to their homes. In other words, I won't want people to travel to church far. I'll create something near their house so they say, I don't have to attach myself anymore to an accurate house. I'll just look for a church next to my house. That was Jeroboam's mind. Go and read the account, please. And he placed a calf in Bethel and a calf in Dan. If you go to the book of Revelation and look at the list of all the tribes that are going to be represented in heaven, Dan is missing because they built a golden calf system of worship in Dan. Go and read that, please. And they were obliterated from the continuity of the faith. Be careful. Sometimes you may say it's a small thing. It's only a small thing. It's only a small thing. Watch it. Small things sometimes, the small foxes spoil the vine. Don't just say small thing. It's okay for my kids. No. You got to be alert. You got to be aligned to his standard. You got to be vigilant. You got to be on high alert, rather. And know how you must finish strong. You made all the tamasha. You've messed up your life. Up to this point, we'll forget about that. But going forward is our virgin future. Only God knows about that. But you can pull that into now and say, God, I repent from all the things that I used to do. And now at this point, I repent and I say, Lord, my future must be untainted. It must be fresh. It must be fulfilling. I must be productive. I will serve the Lord with all I have. For me at 61, I must say that. Pastor Lionel, at his age, he must say that. Because for all the things that we've done over the 20 years and him over 40 years, must culminate in a point of breakthrough. Stand with me. You can continue reading this. The golden calf system is not going to work in this day and age. Anything you venerate, construct and venerate, and place a garland upon will not in any way cause you to progress. Ask yourself the question, let's take 5 minutes and look into yourself. Are there things, inanimate things, like your car, your house, your jewelry, and all of the things, the list goes on of things that you will place before your relationship with God? If that is so, allow me to kindly tell you that you have just constructed a golden calf. Be careful right now. Even this ministry is not more important than God. If I worship this ministry and think it's mine and flex my muscle, you pray for me that God will not wipe me out, because then I've set up a golden calf system. Whatever it is today, beloved, you have a generation to infect with godliness, with the right mindset. It's not what you say, but what you do that impacts the next generation. We are not going to allow our children or young people to go down. We're going to change right now. As a pastor, I stand up and I stand at the altar. And I say to the Lord, as an elder of this house, senior elder of this house, I choose today to be an example, exemplary for the Lord, before the people of God, and before the heavens. How about you today? How about you, moms and dads? Take a moment. Look intently in yourself. Ask yourself the question, am I going to go on like this, or my change must come now? Hallelujah. Come, Val, would you pray for us?